Welcome to The Divine Breadcrumb with your hosts, Carol Campos and Deb Sorensen. Carol and Deb have always believed the universe helps people on their path by sending signs, clues, or what they call divine breadcrumbs. A divine breadcrumb can create both small and massive shifts in a person's life. On this podcast, Carol and Deb will speak with authors, healers, entrepreneurs, and other amazing people across the globe to discuss these pivotal moments. So get ready to learn, to love, and to laugh. And remember, the universe always provides if you allow it to. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Carol.
This is Deb. Welcome back to The Divine Breadcrumb.
Today, our guest is Sue Gilbert, a talented mixed media artist. So it's interesting how we met Sue. In 2015, Deb and I went to a workshop in Mexico, and Sue was one of the people we met while we were there. And you know when you first meet someone and you instantly like them? That's how we felt about Sue. So, and Sue came with a friend as well, and the four of us had some great adventures, including a trip to see the ancient Mayan ruins, Chichen Itza, and we've kept in touch via Facebook ever since, and we're really excited to talk about this chapter in Sue's life. So, a little background about Sue. After graduating from Mills College, where she focused on photography, Sue attended Art Center College of Design. And most of her subsequent years in Los Angeles were spent working in the TV commercial industry. And after becoming a mother, she retired to family life, moving north to Seattle in 1992. But in 2011, Sue's passion as an artist was rekindled when a friend inspired her to create collage art cards. And this led to several classes in acrylic painting and mixed media. And the art cards grew into small canvases and then larger canvases. And soon her walls were covered and she began to sell her pieces, sometimes off of her iPhone. And in 2012, Sue held a private show to benefit a local nonprofit organization where she was able to raise a considerable amount of money. And her work was subsequently exhibited in the 2013 Center for Spiritual Living Art Show and the 2014 North End Art Tour, both in Seattle. She was one of four featured artists in Art Saves Lives, a film by Sharon Sanborn. And in 2016, she participated in the annual Cancer Lifeline Show in Seattle. She also won the People's Choice Award at National Collage Society in Seattle. And in 2017, she was featured again in the North End Art Tour. So we are so happy to be reunited with our friend Sue. So welcome to the show.
My goodness, thank you so much. What a lovely introduction. I didn't realize I did all those things.
Yes, you are very accomplished. And I'm always excited to talk to people who are so creative because I don't have that type of creativity in me. I think I channel in different ways, but especially with art, I just love talking to artists. So you were raised in Stamford, Connecticut, and your grandparents were both artists. So were you artistic as a child as well? And how did your grandparents influence you?
I was very artistic. And in fact, almost all the kids in my family, we are six of us, were artistic. And my grandparents were so much older than I was. It was basically, I think they died by the time I was 10, one of them, and the other one died when I was 20, in my 20s. So I would say they influenced me peripherally, and their message, especially my grandmother's, who had been to art school, her message was, take life drawing, do your homework, be very diligent. You can't build anything unless you really know how to draw. And so that was really, I think, very good advice, but it wasn't suited for me because I've always been a little bit out of the box and I would say highly impatient. So learning to draw is really something you can learn to do music. You can learn to draw. It's a discipline and it's a training. It's really training your eye hand. And it's very painstaking and doing it well is a huge skill. But I think that we all know artists who draw really well and you wonder, well, you know, this is great, but where is the soul? Mm. What is this drawing actually saying to me? So I, on the other hand, was whimsical and nutty, and I loved doing imaginary drawings about, when I was a child, about imaginary places, imaginary scenes, underground living, all kinds of things like that. And I loved doing more cartoon style because it was quick and I could get my feeling in there very quickly. So I just really kind of went my own way on that in terms of the way I was trained.
I love it. I love it. And, you know, Deb and I have obviously looked at some of your work and it totally resonates because there's just so many beautiful colors and it's just happy. Right. And
the energy is fantastic.
Yeah. And I'm very drawn to cartoon style for some reason. And especially the way you do it. I don't know. Everything is just sweet and happy and good vibes all around.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, it's a bit of a departure from my previous mixed media artwork. That was very much more spontaneous. I would just look at different pieces of paper or magazine images and a connection would appear magically. And then it was only after I was finished with the whole piece, it's kind of like putting a puzzle together, that I would begin to divine as I thought about what to title it. What is this about? You know, what am I really saying here? And that was really a fun time for me because of the spontaneity. And also because I wasn't limited by my lack of drawing skills. They looked so much better than anything I could have possibly drawn. So in a way, the move to this new art, which is original digital art, it's all about drawing. And I have been drawing and doing my whimsical sketches, you know, basically all my life. And it wasn't until January of 2018 that I really thought for the first time I could take this seriously. And I kind of like them. They speak to me. Maybe they would speak to other people. And maybe I wouldn't be stuck with all of these works of art on my wall. And maybe I could just print them when people wanted them. So that led me into a whole new world of learning vector at real graphic design, basically on computer. And it is not as spontaneous. Basically, I just take my drawing and I take a picture of it with my iPhone. And then, boom, it's digital. And I put it up into this program and I redraw it.
Oh, cool. That's very cool.
Yeah, what's neat is as I redraw it, I can correct it. I can change shapes. And I love, in a way, I love that. That can be very spontaneous. Yeah. But it's the outside influence, more thoughtful. When I have a shape and I want to fill it with something, I don't have a lot of pieces of paper to say, oh, what could I use? But I do have sort of a scrap file that's digital of patterns, that many of which I have shot. I love taking pictures of patterns. And I will often upload those and put them into a place. And it gives it a little more kick than if I had tried to draw a line or a dot in there. So in a way, it's been a wonderful exploration. And I would really have to say it's taken me back to the roots of my art as a child, which is so moving.
Yes, absolutely. Love that.
Because then it's like play.
Exactly. Exactly. It is just like play. And I think the other thing I really had to get over was sort of my grandmother's voice and my art school teacher's voices, which were all about you have to get proficient. You have to get really good. You have to be, in a sense, perfect. You know, there's so many other people out there, especially when I was thinking of going into the commercial art field as an advertising. my goodness, everyone had really good drawings as mock-ups, and mine were like silly cartoons. And the teachers despaired of me, and I could see why. So that's, in a way, why I never went there. It was, I wasn't qualified, and it wasn't really, wouldn't have been good for me or my soul to have to try and do something I wasn't geared for.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I love this new freedom, and I love the fact that the issue of perfectionism, which has dogged me most of my life, I am a double Virgo, so I'm obsessed with detail, and I do like to get things right. And I think one of the things I have learned is in my life, but especially in doing this artwork, when I'm working on a piece and it's just not gelling, I have to say to myself, it's good enough. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, that feeling that we're pushing something.
I can relate. I'm a double Capricorn, so I can relate because, you know, both Earth and yeah, it's a pain sometimes, but you have to get there that it's good enough because right. Otherwise it never gets anywhere, right? It's never released. Right. The world never sees it because you're constantly working on it. Carol,
that's true.
What was that Greg Braden story about the song?
Oh yeah. So Greg Braden talked about one of his good friends was working on, I guess it was an instrumental piece, and he had kept, you know, tweaking it and honing it. And Greg would hear it and say, you know, this is great. You need to put it out there. And the guy and his friend kept saying, you know, it's not quite ready yet. And this went on for a while, like months. And at one point, I guess Greg went to visit him in Los Angeles, and they were driving back from the airport. And on the radio, on comes this guy's song. And he says, that's my song. And Greg said, not anymore. You know, the universe, you know, kind of put this in your head, but you didn't really heed the call. You kind of kept hemming and hawing. So now it's out there in the collective. So somebody else grabbed that.
Oh, wow. I'm very aware of that collective energy, and I'm very appreciative of it. You know, it's sort of like, you're in the stream, you're in the flow. And I also love your point about he was so obsessive with it, it was never perfect.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm here to advocate that perfect is just a thought.
Exactly.
It's just a thought.
Well, and as we all know, in so many areas, it's the imperfections that actually give something its personality.
Yeah, character, all of that. That's so true.
Yeah, that's really true. And so this is kind of funny. When I do my sketches in the sketchbook, I do not use rulers or templates or anything. I just draw my funky circles and I draw a frame around it. And, you know, and I like the way it dances on the page. I just love that because things aren't regular. So recently I hired a young graphic designer to help me finish some of the pieces. So the pieces are usually composed of many different layers. And sometimes when I'm rushing through them just to get the idea down, I don't tuck all the layers in. So you can see overlaps where there shouldn't be. That's a little too funky. So, you know, I hired him, and he was a graphic designer. He was so frustrated with me. He said, at one point, he said, there isn't a straight line in this piece. And so, you know, that's part of it. Part of it is not to take our arts quite so seriously. That playfulness sells because people relate to it. Playfulness, joy, we need more of that. And if the lines are wiggly, I want people to think I could do that myself. I want people to look at my work and go, oh, I really like that. And I could do that myself. And they're right. They can. Right.
Yeah, you're speaking our language, that's for sure.
Oh, good. They can. Yeah. So I wanted to tell you a little bit about Susan Bird herself. She is my invisible muse. And in January of 2018, I was puzzling over some sketches for an art exhibit I was going to submit to. And the title of the exhibit was Put a Bird on It. So I was drawing birds, and I was drawing funny birds on freeway overhead passes, and funny birds squished into rowboats, and, you know, all kinds of funny birds. And I just really wasn't happy with any of the sketches and was wondering where to go, when suddenly I heard distinctly a voice. And when I say I heard a voice, no, I didn't hear any tone. It's more like I perceived a thought form. And the thought form said to me, imperiously, put Susan Bird on it. Like this order, command, coming from somewhere, coming down somewhere from my right side. And I was looking, I just turned. I didn't see anyone. I turned and I said, who is Susan Bird? Like, how dare you sass me? And she said, I am the world's greatest artist. And of course, that raised all my hackles, that whole thing about being the greatest, the best. And I went, oh yeah? I said, really? And she said, yes. And she proceeded to explain that she has been the muse for the ancient Egyptians, the Minoan civilization, those beautiful wall paintings that they did in Crete back when, and the Impressionists, most notably Van Gogh. And she started listing, you know, and of course, pop artists, Warhol, Lichtenstein. She started listing her resume, and I just started laughing. I went, I don't know what's happening to me this morning, but I'm really enjoying this. And here is somebody who clearly is saying to me, if you put Susan Bird on it, this thing will go, and it made me take it seriously. I mean, I challenged her, you know, and I said, you cannot be the world's greatest artist. You can't take all these dead masters to task and, you know, better than Michelangelo. But how can you do that? So begrudgingly, she allows me to bill her as the world's greatest living artist. And she carries the ego for both of us. She carries the push. She carries the imperative. She doesn't really talk to me much about the design. She does sometimes suggest designs, sometimes very whimsical. But basically, she's there as a driving force, and she's making me take my little drawings and my sketches seriously, and realizing that if they were bigger than the little guys in my sketchbook, that other people could see them and be impacted by them. And she wants things really big. She talks about having them on the sides of buses.
Wow.
In train stations. She would love a painted jet with Susan Bird on it. So she is definitely the grandiose one of us. And I am much more modest. And also being raised in New England, you are not supposed to brag about yourself.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, so many of us are not comfortable with tooting our own horn and putting ourselves out there. So having your muse, Susan Bird, say, yeah, I mean, get out there and shout it loud and proud.
Exactly. She's inspiring that way. So I'm just so grateful that, again, you know, you talk about the flow and synchronicity, and that she would have chosen me is again, just so surprising and such an honor. And then, of course, I can hear her now saying, of course I did. Well, you know, she's an entity that experiences no doubt. Can you imagine? Oh. She has no doubt. No lack of self-confidence. She's just exactly in so many ways my opposite, particularly as I came from in my family with so many other talented artist types being considered artistic, which is a little bit different. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they would say, oh, Sue, can you do us a flower arrangement? I have no idea how to arrange flowers.
Yeah.
and then coming from my grandmother's words, you really have to be good, you know, and then my training at Art Center, which actually I am not going to put down. It was extremely valuable, especially because I am detailed oriented. I really learned a lot there. It was just that I was probably in the wrong section in being in advertising design. But I'm grateful for it. It's just that I never felt I measured up. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, making a career or a move into full-time artwork was just not even possible in my world until Susan came and prompted me.
Yeah. Well, I think it's fascinating too, is that you had described, you know, you don't do a lot with straight lines. You're wiggles. You don't fit into a box, you know, and now you're doing what you're meant to do. So you've been talking a little bit about how Susan Bird has kind of pushed you out into the world. And You've explained that your art is about light and lightness. Could you discuss a little bit more what you mean by that?
Well, basically, my art is whimsical because I am whimsical. Mm. And it just flows out of me. If I were to draw you, you would be horrified. I would probably exaggerate your nose or have one eyebrow go crazy. You know, it's just my nature. And so my art is first and foremost an expression of that whimsical side of me. It's not to say that I don't do darker pieces. Sometimes I get discouraged by things in my life or things going on in the world. And, you know, there will be some darker pieces that take place in my scrapbook or my sketchbook. Or my collages, but really my mission, if as it were, is to take this lightness and the sense of optimism and the sense of playfulness out into the world so that people can just get a minute of joy, a little smile as they pass it. We're not talking complicated art. It is, for me, complicated to make because I'm learning, but it's not complicated. It's simple lines and shapes. And if you just get a smile from it, that's what we love. And so I am with Susan Bird in the sense that I'm hoping to get it out to a broader audience so more people can enjoy it. And I'm just now starting to explore that. But otherwise, the art is full of like playful clouds. And there's also often some elements of darkness in each piece. And the darkness is kind of a contrast to the lightness in it. And I think often that's what makes something deeper. Mm-hmm. You know, they say that light can only really shine in the presence of darkness. Otherwise, right. How would we know what it is?
Absolutely.
So I have one piece called Beat the Blues, and there is a laughing cloud, and he's kind of got feet going out and hands going out and little laughs coming out of him. And all around him are these dark purple clouds with frowns on them.
Aww.
And yeah, and it's kind of to say, yeah, you know, it may be a horrible day. This thing may have happened to you and changed your life. And all you may feel surrounded by the blues, literally.
Right.
And yet there is someone here in this picture. There is someone here encouraging you, that little cloud, to smile, to laugh, to know that you are still intact inside.
Mm.
You know, that light part of all of us is still there.
I love that.
Thank you.
and that's, you know, it's an important message because, you know, everything isn't doom and gloom all the time, just like everything is in joy and unicorns all the time, right?
Right, right,
but
exactly.
And to recognize that there are still things, good things and things to be grateful for.
Yes, yes, there are. And we do need to acknowledge the darkness often I will have gray clouds. I have one piece that I designed but haven't done yet, which is mainly gray clouds and a few houses peeking up from them. And then above the horizon, a lot of stars.
Oh, nice.
So it's interesting. I was able to see an original painting of Van Gogh's when I was in New York last month. And it was one with a foreground. So it was set at night. So the foreground had dusky colors. There was a village, there were some hills, and it was absolutely lovely and semi-realistic. But then, you know, his skies, when you get to his skies, they were just so fanciful, and the trails of paint and the bright yellows. And almost as I looked at it, I saw two worlds.
Oh.
And so that was very inspiring. In fact, it was very moving to me to actually see that piece, which brought me to tears. I could just feel his soul and his spirit sort of taking off in that sky.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thank you. It was so beautiful. It was such a treat to see some of these great masters' pieces in person. And it's very moving because I'm in the presence of a place where his brush actually touched. He was actually there. His energy is truly in it.
Oh, what a great way to interpret art.
Oh, isn't art beautiful? Doesn't it sort of enrich all of our lives, whether we're artists or not?
Yes.
you know, the beauty of nature, the roar of the sea, the art that's in music, or, you know, the cloud shapes. Oh my goodness. It's a beautiful world. If we remember to look up. Yeah.
Yes.
So
Sue, one of our favorite topics to talk about on the Divine Breadcrumb is that it's never too late to start a new chapter. Can you talk about the impetus to start a new business later in life and what were some of your drivers and motivators?
Oh, I would love to talk about that because, again, a lot of people my age, and I will be turning 70 this year, a lot of people my age are winding down. Mm-hmm. And I was winding down before Susan Bird rousted me by the collar. And I was a little bit depressed because I kept thinking, what do I contribute to the world? What I can always volunteer and contribute money, but how is my soul contributing to the world? And what use am I really? And there is that fear that we have as we get older, many of us, of being useless, not meaning anything to anyone. And I mean, in a greater sense, you know, our friends and family are always valuable and they're a great reflection, but what about the greater sense of purpose? And so to your point, I think that, I'm just delighted that Susan Bird came in January of 2018 to wake me up to the greater possibility of her viewpoint is get the artwork out. Come on. What's stopping you? She said, you know, come on, get that artwork out. She's very bossy. And I'm saying, well, it's here. It's in the computer. Shall I make cards? No, you don't want to make cards, you ninny. You have to make it big, she says. And then I'm getting images. She even wants a Susan Bird mobile vehicle, some sort of vehicle with her on the side where I deliver these enormous works of art in it. And it's like, Susan. And but I embrace the part about getting it out and making it big, because often we are so busy, we don't see things unless they're really big. And it's such a change for me in that sense, because my collages, because they take so long to paste and form and shape, were never more than probably, I don't know, 20 by 12, something like that, which was a big one. And here we're designing pieces that are 7 feet, 8 feet. And
Susan, oh my goodness.
I know. And Susan thinks that's small. So I think that, I don't think there's a rule about starting something later in life. I think that as in anything, you follow your heart, you listen for prompts, you open up to new experiences, and then you sort of consult the divine. You consult that wise part of you that will either say, oh, this is stupid, what are you doing? Or the part of you that doesn't say anything. It's just lit up. It's like a big green light inside of you. And when Susan came and said, no, we need to make this big, who we is me, actually. She's just sitting up there somewhere bossing me around. So anyway, yeah, we need to make this big. We need to get this out in the world. And I think part of my work in life has always been communication. I really enjoy communicating positive things and being communicated to in that way. And I also love learning and growing. So those three things came right in as part of who I am to make this more palatable and, in fact, quite exciting. And so, yeah, learning about the art business and learning about printing and learning this new program I was working on and several other programs and hiring people to help me all became an adventure. And I'm privileged in saying this because I didn't need it as a business to earn money. And Susan was very clear about that the purpose of this is to get the artwork out. It doesn't mean give it away, but it does mean just do what you can to get it out into the whole wide world. So it scared me a lot. I mean, I did a drawing called Shy. This figure is kind of looking through, there's all these colored blinds and she's kind of looking through this one eye going, oh my gosh, what's out there? And that's how I felt. It was just seemed like a big mountain. And but I think the thing is the impetus was always so attractive and so tempting and such so appealing that when I would get overwhelmed, I would have to just bring myself back and say, okay, you don't have to do everything this very day.
Right.
You don't have to do everything perfectly.
Right.
You know, just, and because I'm a list maker, just make a list. So immediately that brings relief. Right?
And yes.
And then once your list is made, just put it in order again for right. stuff. Okay, I can do that. And suddenly I realized that all of this, all of these ideas that were just churning through me, they mostly did have a place, but they don't have a place here and now. That, you know, step by step by step, I am bringing this artwork out into the world, and also at the same time developing myself as a graphic design artist and developing my knowledge of marketing and sales and, you know, the business part. Mm-hmm. And, so it's a lot all at once, and yet no one is sitting on me with a deadline. This is the beauty of working for myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I love that. And so I have a lot of advantages going into this, and all the time in the world, if I will only remind myself of that fact.
Yeah. Yes.
So, yeah. So I think that, you know, I was inspired early on by seeing a painting of Grandma Moses. And in fact, by any of the wonderful folk art that proliferate in this country and elsewhere, where untrained people do wonderful works of art. They're inspiring, they're colorful, they're free. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I'm thinking of some of the Aboriginal work, or the Wikdal Indians in Mexico. There's very psychedelic work. It's all very free, and nobody went to art school and learned to draw a straight line. And, you know, it's very appealing. And I think that you can start just with what you're interested in, and take that at one step further and then one step further. And you can do that at any age. There was Grandma Moses discovering art. What was she, in her 60s or something? I don't know. And she became, you know, a celebrity. And part of it was like, oh, look at this old lady doing this art. Well, by those standards, I'm ancient and probably ready for the grave. So I know, I think, you know, to your point, I think that it's really important to just follow your muse, whoever it is, and your instincts, and not be afraid of your old age.
Yes.
And not use it as a hindrance.
Right, right. So I think that's great advice. So thank you for sharing that, because I can tell you that so many of our listeners are in that boat where they think it's too late. And some people might only be in their late 30s or early 40s and they still think it's too late. So I think hearing this and some of the tips that you mentioned to make that jump were really great. So obviously, you know, we've talked about some of your work, and Deb and I have been looking at your creations, and again, so just colorful and happy. So as far as your process, how do you come up with the ideas on what to create? Is it usually coming from you? Is it coming from Susan Bird? Is it a collaboration?
Good question. It varies. Very often I will sit in the morning with a cup of coffee and I will look through my sketchbook and see what I have already that I can elaborate on. Mm. Or I will do a riff on it. I will say, I did a piece called Inspiration. And I thought, well, it was very bold and dynamic and had like shooting things going out. And it's now changed to being Inspire Action. Mm. But I thought, you know, that's one way. Inspiration can hit you like a thunderbolt. But what about a gentler way? So I did another drawing where it's more like a vase with all these magical things inside the vase and then coming out of the vase. Mm. It's very softer in color, and it's a different there's a different approach to the same topic. And some other times, like recently, I've been noticing that most of my work was created last fall and has fall colors. So I've been sitting down going, oh, how do I feel about spring? What's about spring? You know, and I would like, you know, and I'm drawn by the lighter palette I would use. And what can I do about spring? So I've been sitting and drawing some spring colors and looking up flower pictures so I could get them semi-accurate. And that's been fun. That's been a lot of fun. So sometimes it's theme approached. Sometimes Susan Bird interjects. So one morning, coming out of the shower, I heard distinctly this voice, wavy butts. And I said, Susan, what are you talking about? And she said, impatiently, that's her thing, wavy butts. I said, what do you mean? I said, you're going to have to draw it for me. So in the air, I visualized, imagine a large W. So with the rounded W, lowercase W, a large W, and then right next to it, another large W. Hmm. Okay, wavy butts. And I went, okay, I can do that. So I went to this, went to the studio, got out my pad, and I sat down and I drew two W's basically, and then it became three W's. And then I just got off on the riff. So I have wavy butts, which is a little bit risque. I mean, really, but in some cultures it would be normal, but it's just, you know, I haven't put it up on anywhere yet. There's wavy butts. And then I did one in more muted colors. And then I did one with a bright blue on the bottom, and it's wavy butts hanging over the pool.
Oh, that's perfect.
So, you know, that's one of my actual favorite pieces, and it came directly from Susan. Wow. So I just welcome inspiration wherever it comes. And after probably 2 years of basically creative depression, not knowing where I was going, after I decided that I was kind of done with doing my mixed media work, where was I going next, and trying different things in Photoshop, which honestly is way too complicated for me. Oh my goodness.
I agree with that.
Yeah. It feels so wonderful. And I feel so blessed, really, to have this flow of ideas. Basically, this morning I just sat and went, well, what else can I do for spring? And another drawing popped out. And I will do probably five of them and pick one. But I enjoy the process all the way. I enjoy the shapes and it's playtime. And my mind is totally off of anything practical or any of my to-do lists. So it's really almost sacred time. And I love that I'm in the flow, especially because I know I have just been not in the flow. And the contrast, again, was very painful. Mm-hmm. Knowing that I had something to give and not knowing how to channel it.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Does that answer your question?
It does.
Oh, good.
So, Sue, what's on tap for the rest of 2019? Just keeping creating, or new and exciting things coming up for the rest of the year?
Well, for the rest of the year, I am with Susan Bird. Mm-hmm. And I think the next 4 months especially will be spent figuring out marketing and publicity and putting up we have a Facebook page now, we have an Instagram page, and we have a website placeholder. Mm-hmm. So getting the pieces up on the website and selecting a printer to print the on-demand smaller sizes, and you know, just so the mechanics of the business will take a lot of time in the next few months, and also finalizing these prints. These pieces, so that all the layers tuck in, basically. that will take some of it, but I feel good. I can take a break on that, and I have one or two new pieces I want to bring out, and that is such a joy just to put them up on my program and sit there and draw over them, and just the refreshing ideas of a new piece. So I will be doing probably three or four new pieces as well.
Wow.
Oh, that's exciting. Well, I think that's a good segue. So what's the best way for people to reach you and purchase your art?
I think the best way right now is to look on my website, and which is susanbirdartwork.com, and click on the link that says contact. Okay. And you will immediately send an email to me. And then I can send you, depending on what kind of art you would like, I can send you basically a link to my online portfolio, which is what I did for both of you, which mm-hmm. I think gave you an idea. Those are only the pieces that are right now ready to sell. And only the big sizes right now are being sold. The smaller sizes will have to wait until I can line up a print-on-demand person or company, mm-hmm. because it will be a bit too much for me to handle. But right. I can definitely sell and talk to you about what kind of room you want it in, what kind of size you're looking for, what kind of feeling you want, and help make a selection, and we can go from there. So it's really personal contact, which actually I would enjoy. So,
oh, that's great. Go. Well, yeah. Sue, thank you so much for being here. And thank you to Susan Bird. I don't want to forget her.
No.
This has been such a pleasure. And it's just been so fun to catch up with you after all these years.
Yeah, that went by so fast.
It did go by fast. And I just loved meeting you then. I also felt the same way, this connection. And just think we've stayed in touch all these years.
I know.
Absolutely lovely.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I am most grateful to be on this podcast.
Oh. We're just so excited to have you. And to the audience, if you've enjoyed the show, please share our podcast with your friends, subscribe, or leave us a review. We love to hear your thoughts. As always, you can hear the show on our website, thedivinebreadcrumb.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Carol, anything else to add?
No, I just, thanks again, Sue. And I'm sure this is the beginning of many conversations.
Yes.
Oh, I hope so.
Keep us posted. Let us know how it's going. It's just all so exciting.
I definitely will. Thank you so much for your interest and your enthusiasm. It means a lot.
Oh, our pleasure.
Absolutely. All right. Well, bye, everybody.
Bye,
Thank you so much for joining us.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you.